You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tonight at 11:59pm, New Zealand will move to Phase 2 of the government's response to the Omicron outbreak. This does not make any difference to the red setting rules regarding access to public spaces, wearing masks in public, and contact tracing. Instead, this new phase will reduce isolation periods and narrow the meaning of a close contact. This morning, I spoke to Leslie Gray from the University of Otago, Wellington, and Dr. Dion O'Neill, who is the project lead in COVID modelling Aotearoa. And they both provided an explanation of what Phase 2 actually means. They also clarify some concerns people may have about the shift into Phase 2 when it comes to reducing isolation periods and removing isolation periods for essential workers and relying on rapid antigen tests instead. I began by speaking to Leslie Gray. She explains what Phase 2 is and how New Zealanders should be responding to the increase in cases over the next few weeks. I began by asking Leslie to run down the meaning of Phase 2.
So as I understand it, Phase 2, according to the government, is when we've reached around 1,000 daily cases of COVID-19 in the community. At those levels, it becomes much more difficult, in fact impossible, to maintain elimination or stamp it out. And what also happens is that the contact tracing services and the daily testing PCR regimes, they start to get overburdened. So we've got to look at different ways of managing potential and actual cases in the community. So that's what it's about. What it means in practice is things like rapid antigen tests will become more widely used. There'll also be a shortening of the time of household contacts. At the moment, household contacts have to isolate for 10 to 14 days, and that will move from 10 days down to 7 for most household contacts. So they're some of the main changes that people will be interested to know about. What it also means is that this signals that pretty much we're moving towards what's termed an endemic situation with COVID-19. So that means it's in the community, we're not going to be able to stamp it out, we are going to have to live with it. And when we have to live with something like that, of course there'll be lots of people who are very worried, given the amount of cases that we have, you know, more than ever before, and yet here we are reducing the amount of time people have to isolate. So there will be people who would be identified as vulnerable or who have family members who are perhaps more vulnerable, who will want to be shielding more in the coming weeks. We've also got to make sure that people in the community are playing their part. Masking is still required. Physical distancing is really, really important. And scanning into places is also really important. The other thing that we'll see happen is the government will shift the health response around people who are cases to more of what they call a self-service. So rather than having lots of people contact tracing, it will be more people will enter their own details online where possible, and there will be help offered via phone and online. And for many people, they will be able to self-manage at home.
It's a really interesting point because we were talking about it yesterday in the newsroom, because I've been checking the locations of interest perhaps more regularly than I have in sort of recent times, but it's not updating as regularly as it has previously. And so is that really showing that shift towards self-service?
I'm not sure about that. I understand a week or so ago, the government actually did signal to us all that they wouldn't be posting all locations of interest like they were previously. They would only be notifying us of locations where they didn't already have information about all the people who were at that location and places where there would be close contacts. So there has been a bit of a shift regardless of the move to Phase 2. But yes, as we move much further into Phase 2, this will be self-identification of close contacts. And the ministry will really only put out those large public places where there may have been close contacts.
That makes sense. Now, you also did touch on some of the worry that might be being felt by people right across New Zealand with us entering such uncharted territory for our pandemic response. You know, we have never seen daily case numbers this high, and people are perhaps thinking, oh gosh, it feels so strange to be wandering around and going out to dinner and doing the things I would normally do, despite the fact that there is COVID pretty seriously in the community. So is there anything or any sort of advice you can give to people about how they go about their days now, whether they can feel any sort of comfort that eventually we'll see sort of a light at the end of the tunnel? Because I feel like a lot of people are just thinking, gosh, the numbers are just going to get massive and it's going to seem so big and scary.
So one of the key differences now compared to the earlier stages with the different variants, we actually have over 90% of the eligible adult population that are at least double vaccinated. And that's a really, really good thing, and that's a powerful tool to reduce everybody's individual risk. We also know that all rest homes are fully vaccinated. We had that information come out just the other day, so that's rest home people and staff, very, very vulnerable populations. The best thing that individuals can do if they are entitled is to get that booster. So they've had first and second dose, get the booster. We know now that people who have been boosted are over 90% protected against the Omicron variant. So that's a really, really positive thing. However, we've lived for a couple of years now with a very, very closed down approach to any cases. Even if we saw one, two or three community cases, we saw a very rapid lockdown. So it will be confusing for some people. Also, whilst a lot of people who have been boosted will welcome the opportunity that lockdowns are not going to happen again for the foreseeable, we can't get away from the fact that even triple vaccinated people who are vulnerable because of perhaps health conditions, etc., are going to be extremely concerned, especially given that there are numbers of people in the community who are not vaccinated. But the risk still remains highest for those who aren't vaccinated and lowest for those who have been boosted.
That was Leslie Gray from the University of Otago, Wellington. Following the conversation I had with Leslie, I went on to speak to Dr. Dion O'Neill from COVID Modelling Aotearoa about whether New Zealand is prepared for a shift to phase two. We also talk about some of the concerns about the changes to essential workers being able to return to work without going into isolation. And then finally, I also asked Dion, like I did with Leslie, about whether he had any advice for people over the next few weeks and how they can respond and react to the increase in cases. So here is Dion now speaking about whether New Zealand is prepared for this shift to phase two. How prepared is New Zealand for shifting to phase two of the Omicron response tonight?
So it definitely is a different scenario from what we've experienced in the past. And New Zealand was getting really good at dealing with new outbreaks and sort of had a few of those. We've been around the block a few times on those when we had an elimination strategy and when our goal was to keep case numbers as low as possible and to try and drive them down to zero. We're less familiar with this type of scenario where it's a case of knowing that case numbers are going to go up for a while and that we're going to have to try and manage the impact of those growing case numbers and particularly manage the impact of them on different communities, and they're going to affect different parts of our lives and going to respond to them in quite different ways. And so that move to phase two, that's acknowledging that it's a different type of response from what we've done in the past. So Sir David Skegg characterised it as a tactical retreat, and I think that's a really useful metaphor for what we're doing at the moment. So with phase two, there's going to be a bunch of things where we're actually reducing restrictions on people. So we're not asking people to isolate for as long in some situations. And we're narrowing our definition of who counts as a close contact. So make that slightly smaller. And things like slightly less use or different use of contact tracing. So not everyone's going to have a phone call and an interview with a contact tracer if they're a confirmed case. And we're not doing that because the risk has gone down. The opposite's happened. We've got more cases And so the risk has gone up. But this tactical retreat is acknowledging that actually it's not feasible for us to stay, to use all those systems and processes and methods that we have been until now, and that if we want to try and preserve the things that we think matter and to try and protect people with the systems we have, we're going to need to do things a little bit differently. So we're...
It is a lot for people in New Zealand to wrap their head around. You know, we've had... Our response has meant that we haven't had a lot of COVID in the community and people have been feeling sort of safe by being isolated. And now we're moving to a phase where people are perhaps really nervous about these restrictions sort of narrowing. The essential service workers will be able to go back to work without isolating, if I'm correct, as long as they show a negative rapid antigen test. Could you speak a little bit to this and how much we can sort of trust rapid antigen tests and therefore trust going into essential services to seek the services we need?
Yeah, so that it's for particular services that we really are worried that if those services weren't there, there'd be a lot of harm done potentially. So you can imagine in a healthcare setting where, sure, absolutely, if you really want to avoid a nurse, for example, being infected, if you can be relatively confident that they're not infected, even if that confidence isn't 100%, and you can send them to work, and you're sending them to work only because you believe that they're going to do more good than the potential risk. So the way we're using these rats to do that, so rats aren't perfect in terms of their sensitivity. And there's different numbers out depending on the different brands and what that sensitivity might be. Some people have said it's as high as 80%. That seems a little bit high from what I've read. Maybe a number of around 50% sensitivity might be more realistic. But we do with rats, because they're so accessible and so cheap, have the option of being able to use multiple rats. And so the proposal is, I believe, that for these essential workers, that they'd be taking a rat every day. So even though it's only a 50% sensitivity on an individual test, that cumulative testing probability, the cumulative likelihood that you'd pick someone up if they were infectious.
Finally, is there any advice you have for people who are perhaps feeling nervous about the upcoming weeks and the increase in cases and what people should be doing to make them feel the most safe they can, I guess?
And I guess there's a few bits of advice. So one thing for people to keep in mind, so one thing we know about COVID at the moment is that it's airborne. So if you want to reduce your risk, then you want to take risk mitigation measures that acknowledge this airborne spread. And so this means things like, so in the past we worried about distancing, this 2 meter distance between people. That was when we thought that COVID was spread via droplets. And so droplets don't travel further than a metre or so, and we thought that 2 metres was going to keep us safe from that. But now that we know that COVID is airborne, that 2 metre distance has much, much less effect. So unless you're outside and there's a good wind blowing, or at least outside, that distancing isn't going to do much. Right? We've all been in a room. You can imagine you're in a room where someone's farted. That fart isn't going to just stay within a 1 metre radius of a person. It gets about the room, and it sticks about the room. And we'll know that when we've got into a lift and there's a smell that's in that lift already, that even though there's no one in the lift, again, it's that same thing about you've got something that's airborne, it sticks around in a confined space without ventilation. And so that really means that masking is going, like masking when you're indoors or when you're in a scenario where you don't know who's been in a room before you, is going to be an effective measure for trying to reduce transmission.
That was Dr. Dion O'Neill speaking about whether New Zealand is prepared for a shift to phase two of the government's Omicron outbreak response. We will be shifting to phase two tonight at 11:59 p.m.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.